Good evening, everybody. How's it going? This is Tyler Dunn here with Bob McGinn of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. This is the Packers podcast. We're getting it after a little late in the week here, Bob. We're pushing it.
Well, we really are. Better late than never, though.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, hey. The masses, they want the podcast, Bob. I'm sure your email box was full. Yeah. So how are we doing? How's everything going? I see the Christmas tree is up. It's looking pretty nice.
Yeah, Pat put that thing up. So
how tall is that thing? That's got to be 16 feet tall.
11 feet. We cut it down, lashed it to the top of the car, and brought it home.
Now, is this a Griswold type of occasion here? Are you bringing Charlie up from Milwaukee, and is this a full family? No, you out there with an axe? I can pitch you out there with an axe.
Actually, it was the two of us out in Suamico on Wednesday.
Okay.
A big old tree, a big old balsam. The price was right. $25.
$25 for a tree.
A big old tree.
Wow, I tell you what, that puts mine to shame. I got the Charlie Brown tree going on, and it's no offense to it was a gift for mom and dad, so sorry, mom and dad, if you're listening. It's a great tree. It's my fault. Half of my lights don't even work. I don't know where my ornaments are. It's just I'm not stepping my Christmas game up, Bob. I gotta step it up.
Right? Yes, you do. That's right. Single guy living on the river down there.
That's true. Got to. That's true. Got to do it. I mean, but when you don't have any guests, that's my question. I mean, when you don't have any guests, what's the extent of Christmas decorations you have? I mean,
all right. So, Tyler, really? Why don't we do the show over at your pad here next time?
Okay, we'll all do right. it. And so they'll force myself right. to fix it up a little bit. Okay. Right. All right. Let's get after it. We're going to talk about Ryan Grant's return today. Bob's going to break down the streak. The Packers haven't lost at Lambeau Field against the Detroit Lions since what year, Bob?
A sunny Sunday afternoon in 1991.
My God.
10 degrees.
4 years old then. That's a long time ago. So we're going to get into that. We're going to talk about the fines that the Packers have been racking up this year, and then we're going to get into that Detroit Lions breakdown. So first things first, Bob. Ryan Grant back in town, finally. I mean, this is something that everybody's been talking about since March when he's a free agent. What's your initial gut reaction to them reaching out to Ryan Grant?
You know, they needed other backs many other times this year. And first they went to Cedric Benson, then they went to Johnny White, then they went to DeJuan Harris off the practice squad. So I think it's an adequate move. I mean, there are some players out there, Joseph Addai. I like Curtis Brinkley, a guy who played for the Chargers.
Syracuse.
Really?
Yeah.
Was he? Okay. You know, Maurice Morris, the old Lion, he could never sign. He's not a bad all-purpose, multiple, kind of a versatile guy. Tim Hightower had maybe not 1,000 yards, but close to it with the Redskins. So there are some people out there, but they went with Grant. And as like McCarthy said, you know, I know it's true. You don't want to get a system guy, like Ron Wolf said eloquently this week. But at least when he went out there, he shows up Wednesday morning, he shows up at practice at 11, and he knows what he's doing. Mm-hmm. And there's something to be said for that. And the guy can run in the snow. All right, so how do you see Grant?
Well, first, you know, here's the guy. He gets a standing ovation from his team Wednesday morning in the gym when they're going through a walkthrough. Mike McCarthy can't say enough good things about the guy. Aaron Rodgers, everybody, they love Ryan Grant. But just from the Packers' perspective here, I mean, isn't it kind of funny? I think Thad, who reads and listens on Twitter, made a good point to me today. He said, this is kind of like the fourth prom date option here for the Packers. You know, Ryan Grant, he wanted to go to prom with Green Bay really bad, but they bypass him in free agency. They bypass him when James Starks has the turf toe injury in August. Cedric Benson goes down, still nothing. And they just got to the point where it's no mas. All right, Ryan Grant, let's rock and roll. I mean, were you surprised that they didn't reach out to this guy sooner?
Frankly, I kind of forgot about him. I just, you know, after it didn't happen in August, and I just kind of forgot about him. You know, he was their best back down the stretch last year. He was. And this is what, 11 months later? He's not that bad of a player. He has limited wear and tear. He's 30 years old. Now, he's really not a very good receiver. Mm-hmm. He's not a very good pass blocker. He doesn't help on special teams. And he does fumble. But
not really. He had a long streak there of not fumbling.
He had several fumbles early in his days in Green Bay. But then he had a streak.
He had the streak.
And then that Giants playoff game appeared. Okay. So I'm good with it. You?
I think it's a good pickup here. I mean, they're probably their best possible option right now. And And yeah, like Grant said himself, he's not here to be a feel-good story. I mean, he wants to produce. He has to produce because Alex Green can't be carrying the ball 20, 25 times. I mean, Alex Van Pelt said they need a complement. They have to use multiple backs, and it's going to have to be Ryan Grant. He's probably not going to get a ton of touches against the Lions here in the first game back, but you know, I would think that if it gets up to game speed and he gets hit a few times, he'll factor in. He'll be a part of this offense. And Ryan Grant made a good point. And by the way, he held court Wednesday with the media. There had to be 20, 25 reporters there around him, and he talked for a good 20 minutes. Hmm. And he made a good point. He said, asked him, you know, is this a little humbling? I mean, finally you're on a team after three workouts, nothing really worked out. And he said, well, there was a certain player that wanted to come back and play for the Packers, and they didn't want him. Kind of alluding to Brett Favre there.
Yeah,
so,
right.
You know, he sees the big picture, no real hard feelings, and gosh, they need him big time. And kind of a similar effect. Late in the year, you mentioned how he came on against the Raiders, the loss to the Chiefs, against the Lions, and it just seemed like that was when defenses were kind of starting to go to that two-shell, were begging Green Bay to run the football, and he responded, and that's when he really stepped up. Yeah. So that's something he might be seeing right now.
He averaged 5.5 down the stretch last year, 3.4 in the warm weather. So he is kind of a mutter.
Mm-hmm.
He hits people. You know, Detroit's really an undersized defense at all three levels, I would say. So how many – I mean, do you think we're going to see DeJuan Harris?
Boy, you know, he's been in Green Bay on the practice squad since October 24th, I believe.
Yeah.
And he's been on the 53-man roster for a week now. He doesn't know everything yet. He admits he still has some things to pick up, but he has been around for a little while now, so I think he could contribute for them, and they want to use multiple guys. So maybe it's on draw plays, on shovel passes, on mm-hmm. screens. I mean, he's a small guy, 5'7", you know, 195, 200 pounds soaking wet. So, you know, maybe he does give them something.
So you talked to him on Friday, right?
Right.
He looks like he's a strong guy. When you look at him, he is ripped up top.
He is. I mean, it's kind of funny. Where he sits in the locker room, he sits with the linemen. Yeah. I mean, they've had so many injuries in the locker room that they're just kind of running out of room and running out of any type of organization within the main part. So, hey, let's just stick DeJuan Harris next to Josh Sitton and Evan Dietrich Smith. But, yeah, he's a strong guy. He mentioned this, that at his pro day, he benched 225 27 times. He recalled 28 times. Either way, that's a lot of reps for a guy of his stature. You know, we'll see. He was in Jacksonville last year. You know, they have a shorter guy in Maurice Jones-Drew who's productive. He doesn't think his height is a factor. He thinks that it allows him to kind of hide behind linemen and pick and choose his holes. They must see something in him. I mean, he's sticking around for a reason. I was a little surprised when he got the call up.
Yeah. One thing on Grant, just maybe a final thing. You know, his contract, it's prorated, of course. You get paid 1/17th of your base salary, the 16 games and the bye week. And, you know, his base is 700, which is the minimum. And if he goes on IR, he gets a split. His base is reduced to 368. Did the Packers really have to do that? It seems pretty chicken, you know what.
Well, I'm going to sit this one out. You tell me.
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah.
Come on. This guy's earned. He's got some pelts on the wall, and he's helped this organization. Give that guy the straight cash if he's even.
Straight
if he
cash, homie. That's what Randy Moss said. Yeah. I hear you. You know what? And he made a good point, too. He had the three workouts with the Giants, the Bears, and the Lions. And I kind of assumed, I was like, all right, so you go to these workouts and you don't get an offer. You know, what's the feeling with that? And he said, hey, I never said I didn't get an offer. So according to him, he may have had opportunities to go play for these other teams. Now, did he want – I'm just saying, relaying the message. Don't shoot the messenger, Bob.
All right.
But if that's the case, you know, he wants a little money too. I mean, don't you get a little desperate after a while and you just want to play and you don't care what the dollar amount is?
I would think he knows it's going to be minimum anywhere he goes. It was minimum in Washington. Or no, yeah, that's where he was for 3 weeks.
That's true.
Right, yeah. All right, let's move on.
Okay.
Come on.
All right, so Bob, the streak, the Lions haven't won in Green Bay for a while. You know, these current players, they were probably 4 or 5 years old last time Detroit won in Green Bay. They played games in Milwaukee then too. You got a long list in front of you of all the games, all the scores, what happened in these games. It's going to be your column for Sunday. When you did the research, when you looked back at all this, is there any common denominator of how Green Bay's just been able to dominate this team at home?
Well, yes, there has been. So let's go to the, I mean, obviously everybody, I'm not, you know, it's quarterback play, right? All right, so Tyler, I just looked at the 21 Green Bay starters in these 21 games, right? 20 regular season, the 94 wild card playoff game. Brett Favre started 17, Aaron Rodgers started 3, Matt Flynn started 1. All right, what do you think the cumulative passer rating of those 21 starters in those games is?
In the 90s, high 80s?
It is. Good call. 99.9. That's spectacular, really. I mean, that's outstanding quarterback play, right?
Yeah.
And this goes back, obviously, into the 90s when passer ratings weren't as extreme as they are today. Now let's go to the Detroit Lions.
So we're talking Scott Mitchell. We're talking Rodney Pete.
We're talking Eric Kramer, a lot of guys, Tyler.
Dante Culpepper.
How many starters did they have, different people, in those 21 games?
Hit me.
13. 13. Woo! Scott Mitchell led the way with 4. Then we got Joey Harrington in there with 3. And with a pair, we got Rodney Pete, Charlie Batch, and John Kitna. The Singletons, David Craig, Don Majkowski, the Magic Man, yeah, in return, Gus Frerotte, Garcia, Danny Orlovsky, Dante Culpepper, Sean Hill, and Matthew Stafford.
Wow.
Now, Tyler, those 21 gentlemen who started those games, what's their cumulative passer rating? We got Green Bay in at 99.9.
I would be off. I have no idea.
Kurt Sylvester, a writer for the Detroit Free Press who covered the team for 30 years, most recently in 07, I asked him this very question. He guessed 87. I said, Kurt, what are you smoking? Then he goes to 72. I said, you're still way off. He goes 62. I said, lower. 59.7.
Oh, my gosh.
40.2 difference per game.
99.9.
To 59.7. Now, let's look at it another. When Garcia had an 80.6 in 2005, that was the first, and that was the 15th game on the streak. That was the first the Lions had over 80. Right now, they got one guy over 100. Matthew Stafford last year, 103.6. Green Bay's had 12 of 100 or more. I mean, come on.
It's unbelievable. I mean, we can talk about it all day long. It almost sounds cliche to this point, but you better nail it when you're going after a quarterback, whether it's a trade, whether it's a draft pick. And Detroit just hasn't done that.
Just did.
I mean, can you think back? I mean, I know they went after Scott Mitchell back in the 90s, obviously. They totally misfire on that. They totally misfire on Joey Harrington. They hope they got it in Matthew Stafford, but why has the quarterback play been so bad for the Lions?
They missed on Andre Ware as well.
Right.
I mean, Millen missed on Harrington. The organization missed Ron Hughes probably on Andre Ware. Who was the other one? Oh, Scott Mitchell was a big trade for like a third-round pick. You know, Charlie Batch has had a good career. He was fine over there. They got rid of him. I thought he would have been all right. Now Matthew Stafford. You know, Sean Hill's a heck of a backup. Mm-hmm. And he almost beat Green Bay here in one of their few competitive games. All right, just a couple other things. You know, post-Lombardi from 68 to 91, neither team was very good. The streak started in 92. Neither team was any good. But in Wisconsin, the Lions had the edge, 12-10-2. And now all of a sudden they go 0-21. All right, against the other division foes in the state of Wisconsin, Green Bay is 14-7 against the Bears, 15-7 against the Vikes, but 21-0 against those Lions. And the Lions made the playoffs 5 times in the 90s.
Right, and you made that point earlier when we were just kind of talking before. It's not like they've been terrible this whole time as a franchise. I mean, they had Barry Sanders, and you have an individual talent like that. You can't win once at Lambeau. So you go back. What are some memorable games you remember? We mentioned Barry Sanders. I imagine that playoff game's probably in there when they held him and he did nothing. What other games jump out at you?
Not that many have gone down to the wire, Tyler. You know, in 05 when Green Bay was 2-10 and they played a Sunday night game here. I mean, both teams were awful. Sam Congato, right? Yeah. 29 for 171. But his big play, you know, Kurt Sylvester brought this up. It's 13-13 mid-fourth. The Lions drive almost length of the field. They got first and goal on the 4 under interim coach Dick Geron. This is after Mariucci got the boot. All right, so they hand it off to Arto's Pinner. Three times for 3 yards. They're at the one in a tied game. Gerard calls timeout. All right.
I sense a Dick Gerard decision coming on.
So they go talk it over. And Sylvester, he brought this up, and I forgot about it. Out of the timeout, what do? They run Jeff Garcia on a snap behind undersized center Dominic Raiola against 400-pound Grady Jackson. He swallows it up, you know. All right, so now Green Bay's on the half yard.
Why in the hell would any coach do that? I mean, seriously.
I mean, it's just Sylvester just shakes his head, you know.
Yeah.
All right. So now Green Bay's on the half yard line. False start. Now they're on the 1/4 yard line.
Mm-hmm.
They hand the ball off to Gatto going off right tackle. Now you kind of remember this play. Vontae Leach, a heck of a blocking fullback, misses his block. Middle linebacker Earl Holmes swoops in, attacks Gatto 2 yards deep in the end zone. And he makes one of the greatest plays in Packer history. He throws the ball forward as if he's a passer.
Is that right?
Trying to avoid the safety. Wow. And it works.
And it worked.
I mean, immediately, Carey, the official, what's Mike Carey?
Yeah.
He throws the flag for, I don't know what he thought, intentional grounding, I think. And there was a penalty on Tauscher for holding. But they claim Tauscher was not in the end zone, otherwise it would have been a safety, right? Gerard cannot challenge that portion of it. It goes to replay official, and it comes back. He's outside the tackle box, incomplete pass.
Wow.
Green Bay punts. No damage. They get out of regulation, and then they win it in OT. So that's one game that nobody can. It is an unforgettable moment in this series.
And that was when Green Bay went 4-12. What?
Yeah.
You mentioned Sam Congato. I mean, yep. That was a little before I got here, obviously. But what was he like to talk to?
He was a great guy. One of the best in that locker room ever. He was smart, man. He was approachable, really bright. He was a terrific guy.
I mean, that's remarkable. I mean, this blip in Packers history, what he did, you know.
Yeah. I'm sorry for rambling on that play, but that was something else. It just epitomizes this series.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, that would have been the game to get him. And then last year, that would have been the time for the Lions to get him, too, with Green Bay resting some guys. Matt Flynn has a career day. we're sitting there looking at your list. You're right. There isn't really these memorable down-to-the-wire finishes. It usually has just kind of been
bad football. I mean, yeah, it just... Of all those 21 games, the Lions were favored once.
Only one time.
And in 91, let's not forget this, the year of the streak before, they were 12-4 and won their only playoff game. They hammered Dallas, then lost in the NFC title game. That was their only playoff victory since 57, so they were a good club starting the streak. Favored once last year.
Oh, they were favored last year.
By 6.5, because remember they had a chance to go to avoid a trip to New Orleans, and the odds makers went with that. And
I didn't know they were favored by that much last year, though. That's something else.
Against the spread in this thing, Green Bay's 14-5-2.
It's remarkable. I mean, it's a staggering streak. I mean, you expect to slip up here and there, and they just kind of kept it going. So
let me mention this. That's the all-time NFL regular season home streak against one full. However, that's 20. Green Bay's at 21 counting postseason. But the Lions, they're not only bad against the Packers, they're bad against the Redskins. The Redskins they're in second place, 18 regular season dating back to 1939. However, Tyler, the Redskins have won 3 home playoff games against the Lions. Uh-huh. So each team counting playoffs is at 21 right now.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I mean, so, all right, you look at the Lions right now, you look at their team. And what do you see? I mean, they're 4-8. They're desperate. Don't have a lot going for them right now. Does that pose a threat to Green Bay to end the streak? That they could come in here, nothing to lose, and take down the Packers?
I think it's a more difficult. Oh man, do I want to say this? I'll say it. I think it's a tougher game than next week at Chicago.
Whoa.
Yeah, I do.
And why do you say that?
Unless the Lions are just gloomy gusses and are totally packing it in. They got everything they got to win this game. I mean, Green Bay's got all kinds of injury problems.
It's safe to say they're better than their record says, too.
A lot better.
A lot better than their record says.
You got to assume they're poorly coached and organized and everything, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, for what they're doing. But, I mean, they got a pass rush in places that Green Bay is going to struggle against. They got a good running back in Mikel LeShore and in bad weather, which we think it might be, Joke Bell is a tough 230-pound guy. They got two backs. Their line is intact. They got no injuries on the line. Yes, they only have one receiver, but he's a great one, and they got Pettigrew and, Scheffler. They can throw. They got enough targets. Their secondary is lousy, but Rodgers needs time to exploit it.
It didn't really matter in Detroit that they were lousy. I mean, it was more of a scheme, and they schematically were a step ahead of Green Bay.
But Green Bay is so well run, you know what I mean? And they're motivated, and they got the crowd, and maybe the Lions just can't handle it. They're the same old Lions, and they're going to 0-22.
Mm-hmm.
They probably are. What do you think?
I think it's going to be a close game. I think Green Bay wins. They're just more talented, and they have more to play for. This game just means more to the Packers. And it is interesting, though. I mean, I think a couple of these guys, if they had to absolutely play, probably could. I mean, you have to think that Charles Woodson probably could play in this game if they wanted him to, but they're going to save him for Chicago. So they are kind of, heading into this game a little undermanned still. I think Green Bay wins it, though, for the simple fact that Stafford's going to give you a pass here and there. So I think they're going to create some turnovers, and the offense is going to do enough. I mean, I think they can still have a pretty successful rushing game against Detroit's front.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to expect that the line, I guess that's the concern there. How's Don Barkley going to hold up in his first start? But I think that he'll do all right.
Averill's a pretty good player. I mean, he gave Lang, all he could handle.
Mm-hmm.
Averill's been on fire. He looked really good against the Colts. I think a lot depends if Nick Fairley how long he can go on this quad. Fairley's really played well since the Green Bay game.
And he's the guy that gave them the trouble in Detroit, because you pay so much attention to Ndamukong Suh, and I mean, you got to worry about Fairley as well.
Saturday's got a bad foot. I mean, that's not going to help him at all. Dietrich Smith's in there at left guard. Sue's had 11 quarterback hits in two games. I mean, they got the people to put pressure on. But like you said, they're the Lions, huh?
All right, Titus Young, intentionally lining up in the wrong spot, reportedly, against the Packers in Detroit. You've covered football for a long time, Bob. Have you ever heard of anything remotely close to that? A player screwing up on purpose?
No, I haven't, no.
Nothing close to that?
No, I have not, no.
It's unbelievable.
Boy, it's a heck of, he was kind of a crazy guy coming out in the draft, and they took a shot on this guy.
What did people say about him coming out of the draft? What did the scouts say?
Just erratic behavior. Thin guy. I mean, now he's just doing all these crazy things. He seems mentally unstable from a source I know over there. He's just doing weird stuff.
After every catch, he kind of waves above his head or whatever the heck that is. And before the season, he said that he thought Barry Sanders was pretty much passing the torch to him on draft day when he announced the pick. So it's too bad, because he obviously has talent. He's got some talent, and he's could be a good receiver, but they don't have him. They don't have Broyles. They don't have Burleson. It's going to be a lot of Megatron, you would expect. And is Tremont Williams probably going to be matched up on Calvin Johnson with a little safety help? I mean, that's kind of been how they've gone about this matchup,
I would think. The Lions, they did something a month ago that the Packers never do. When they lost Nate Burleson, they gave up a fifth-round pick that could become a four for Mike Thomas from Jacksonville, who had been a really good player in 09 and 10, but he hadn't done much since. And so they got to count on Mike Thomas to do some things, but the problem is Mike's a slot, and he has to play outside now, and it's just kind of a mismatch deal.
Yeah, absolutely. Defensively, Green Bay, they have four fines this year, Bob. $78,000. The guys aren't happy about it. I'm talking to them this week in the locker room, they said they're going to play the same way. They're going to play fast. They're going to play aggressive. They don't see anything wrong with the collisions, with the hits they've had, Jerron McMillan included. I mean, he had the big hit on Martellus Bennett in New York at the end of the game. Says if he sees Bennett in the playoffs coming across the middle on a post, he'd do the same exact thing. This is a topic you've written a lot about. What do you make of these fines? Are they legit? I mean, we all know this is just a byproduct of player safety, of the anti-concussion movement, and just all of that. But are these legit?
Tyler, does Green Bay's number of penalties, do you think it's high by league standards?
I was really trying to look around with the fines and try to compare and get some context on that. It's hard to get a gauge for that because teams and league, they don't have to come out and announce this stuff. But it does seem like this is above the average as far as the unnecessary roughness calls. the personal fouls, the fines, and it's just, it's abnormal for Green Bay. And it's just kind of funny. I mean, here we are last year where they gave up 71 pass plays of 20 yards or more. I mean, guys are running across the middle. They're not getting hit. They're, you know, they give up more passing yards than any team in NFL history. So they go about this movement, this culture change, and wanting guys to hit, wanting to close on the ball faster. And they're getting fined for it. So it's going to be interesting to see down the stretch here. I mean, they said they're going to play the same way. And that's how, that's exactly how you have to go about it to really turn this defense around. And it has been better. But in the back of these guys' heads, I mean, Desmond Moses admitted himself, look, I'm an undrafted free agent. He doesn't know how long he's going to be around. To a guy like that, $21,000 is a lot of money. You're going to think twice about going in guns a-blazing on a guy when the ball comes. And if people could see Bob McGinn right now, I'd...
Tyler, I don't want to sound like an old fuddy-duddy, but in researching, but I'm sure I'm going to.
What did you just say?
But in researching this story, I got all the newspaper sections on everything we've written for 30-plus years. So,
and it was nostalgic, wasn't it?
So, yeah, it was. So in doing the streak today, I looked back at these 21 games and our Journal Sentinel sections on every game. And in there, I was reading a game in 95 or something, how Don Beebe got concussed. He took a shot downfield against the Lions. And, you know, nobody was complaining about it.
Right.
Beebe was talking about, you know, occupational hazards, and there was no fines. There was no – you just go in the middle, you got drilled.
Wasn't that in 96 or around there when they played the Lions? All their receivers were hurt that year, right? Wasn't that like Terry Mickens and all these no-names? And I think I remember that. And so when you see – I mean, all the injuries that they had at that position, did you think twice? Did you think –
It definitely happened to me. Yeah. I mean, you know, today, when I what a different world we live in, you know?
You just wonder about the direction of things, where it's going to be 5 to 10. We're not sitting here, you know, promoting violence and concussions and all of that. But I think there just has to be a little legitimate concern about the game and where it's heading and what's going on with collisions, with hits, and where we're heading. I mean, Roger Goodell, in a Time Magazine article this week, floated the idea of football without kickoffs, with alternatives. Here's what you can do. You can punt, you can go for it fourth and 15. I mean, that's something that you'd never even hear about a year, two, 3 years ago.
So it sounds like it's coming, though, huh?
It does. I mean, if the idea is out there.
Have you talked to any Green Bay players about this no kickoff deal?
Yeah, you know, Tim Mastay, he was smart with his words, and he said it would be strange, it would be quirky, but he didn't think that that would be a drastic, huge, you know, changing the game type of move.
Mm-hmm.
A couple other guys just kind of shook their head, and you know, they're not good, they're smart, they're not going to say too much about it. I think that they'd be concerned, though. I mean, that would be a really big change, and what else are we going to see here? I mean, that's the kind of thing that we do back at Syracuse, playing football outside and intramurals. Hey, you know what? We're not going to do kickoffs. Why don't you just go for it on 4th and 15? What the heck? I mean, this is the NFL.
You know, all season long, since they moved the kickoffs to the 35, there haven't been many returns.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's going to be a lot of returns in cold weather starting tomorrow night, right?
Right.
They're all going to be returned. The ball's not going to go anywhere. And there's going to be these collisions. So
that is the high-impact play they're looking at, kickoffs. Yeah. That's why they changed it a year ago, you know, moving it up. But you just wonder, where's the line? How far is too far? I mean, these players say themselves, they know when they put on the helmet, the risks involved.
So, Tyler, where are the high-impact collisions? Now, let's just think. The block by Ryan Taylor in the middle of an interception, or was that a return? That was a return.
Punt return.
All right, so that's now taboo. So that...
Right. Yeah, let's. Well, let's
legal look. Shot with your head in front.
Okay. Let's look at the four plays.
Defenseless. That's gone. Right. All right.
Ryan Taylor. They called it a illegal blindside block. It looked like Johnson had an angle on Randall Cobb. Taylor takes him out, coming two different directions.
Yeah.
Looked pretty clean to me. Did it look clean to you?
Yes, it did.
Okay.
That's gone.
All right. So then you have Nick Perry's sack fumble on Andrew Luck. They said that he hit Luck with the crown of his helmet. You look at the replay, it kind of looks like he came at him with the face mask in the sternum area, but not the crown of his helmet exactly. A violent collision. It looked a lot worse than it probably was.
So that's out. Perry has to use his shoulder to the chest there. And if Luck gets down, that's too bad. He's got to get lower than the helmet. All right, what was the... Huh?
Did you think that fine was justified? I think that was 15 grand.
I don't even know anymore, Tyler. I have no clue. All right, what's the third one?
John McMillan, Martellus Bennett, over the middle, late in the game, 30-10. We're probably all on deadline writing stories. Not even
Sure were.
But we were watching. All right, so anyways, on the play, Bennett comes over the middle, and it's the ball comes. He doesn't catch it. In comes McMillan. It seemed like he got pretty low, but there was some contact there.
All right, that's out. Fine. Now, what's the fourth?
Tremont Williams last week on Toby Gerhardt up the sideline.
Jeez, I mean, he's just kind of over on the out-of-bounds line. Tremont wouldn't hurt a flea, you know, fly. He goes over. Okay, so that's out. So where's the high-impact hits coming? You got to hug quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
On running plays, yeah. If a running back breaks through the line and he's going to go, he's 10 yards down. Okay, a head-on collision with a safety. You're going to get high impact there. There's some stuff on punts, certainly.
And the guys that play the game, they're bigger, they're faster, they're stronger.
No doubt.
Than ever before. So
right.
That has to be taken into consideration. But I imagine they're looking at studies to try to find.
They've legislated a lot of these mean predicaments out of it.
They definitely have.
Yes, they have.
And if you're looking for a long history at the game of football, see, that's what you call a segue, Bob. Did you catch,
I like it.
Did you catch that?
That's, yeah, nice, Tyler.
Yes, yes. Christmas is coming up. You got to get your Super Bowl book. The Bob McGinn Ultimate Super Bowl book. Bob.
You're purchasing a couple for gift giving, right, Tyler?
Yes, I am.
Nice.
Exactly. Got to do it. It's the real deal. Can you, all right, sell it here, Bob. Give us a little nugget.
I get my 30 seconds? Why not? All right, so indulge me here. The Ultimate Super Bowl book, Tyler, right? Jeez. We need to have Pat down here, the ace marketing director, to come down and throw in her two cents.
This is why we're not in marketing and advertising.
Send me an email, right?
bmcginn@jrn.
We'll work that. jrn.com. Right. And we'll do the mail order deal. Pat will be on this thing in a Hollywood minute. I'll personalize it, sign that thing up any way you want.
All right.
And then you can attack 416 pages and answer every question you ever had on 46 big Super Bowls.
Why don't you diagram some plays and stuff in these books too? You could maybe do that for them.
That's Silverstein's deal.
Okay, that's right. That's Tom's territory.
Yeah, that's his show all the way, and he does a great job.
Well, it is incredible. I just read the chapter on the Broncos-Packers Super Bowl. Good stuff.
Good.
Very good.
Time is drawing short. We'll hustle them out, but you're going to have to get those emails to us. We can't be charging out there on Christmas Eve.
That's
right.
Hey, no rest for the weary with those
We'll boys. Respond, but we do need time.